I do appreciate y'all, and I do want to begin by telling everybody thank you for coming out this week, and I'm excited to stand before you this morning as I was pondering upon it, and this morning, this week, as I have, I don't know, I've not preached as many sermons as some men have, but I have enjoyed getting to preach this week and sitting under the preaching of God's Word, and I think that after this morning is that my family will actually have said under more sermons than there are days in the week, and I am thankful for that. But this morning I want to preach, or I want to look at the 8th chapter of John again, and we will be looking at verses 37 through 48. Now, as I have preached several sermons, is one thing, even though my body is tired, I am eager to preach, is the one thing that I have noticed is through the preparation and the study of this text is it seems like that the sermons that I have preached this week kind of begin to intermingle and intertwine. And as I ponder upon it, is I cannot help but to see that it is, and I believe that it is God's providence that we see, His sovereign hand within it. But as I pondered upon our text this morning, is the first thing that my mind went to was a father and a child. You see, I'm not saying that every time we see a child who has a father that this is true. Many times it cannot be true. But as I think of a father, as we know a father is a male who has had a child or has children. And these children, as I want us to ponder on this morning for a second. You see, when we look around, as we can many times see that the child of the father ends up being employed in the same work as the father. My mind immediately went to myself is that growing up, my father was a fireman, and you do know that I ended up spending about 10 years of my life as a professional fireman. And then my mind went to Nathaniel. His dad is one who has raised chickens and cattle, and yet we see him doing that. My mind went to Josh as his dad was one time opening, or he had started a custodial business, and yet here he is still working in that. And Josh, I'm sorry, I don't know how to make that connection, but you're one of the odd ones who we don't see. But when we see that is we see that oftentimes is a child, not just a son, but many times a daughter will end up being employed or working in the same work as their father. That the one who is their father is that many of the works of the father continue throughout the child. And I'm not preaching on this topic this morning that I'm fixing to mention, but it makes something worthy of mention. When we see this thing, and I think you would all agree with me, is the one thing we begin to see, and again, our text does not deal with this, is we see the importance of there needing to be men today. And you say, well, what do you mean? Look around, there's men here this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. There shows the importance that there need to be men today who do what men do. And you say, well, what do men do? What I'm saying is that a true man is what he does is, first off, is he is godly. But thinking of the truth, which I've already presented to you, which is not in Scripture. It is. We'll see it here in a second. But we see the importance of there needing to be godly men who lead their families. You say, well, I see men who lead their families. No, I'm talking about men who lead their families in the truth of God, who lead their families in worship, who lead their families in the study of Scripture, in the teaching of Scripture, in the worship of Lord, of men, godly men who come and who lead their children in the serving of their Lord through their local church. We see a need of this. For if the child of the man carries on the work of the father, of their father, is that you carry these on. So oftentimes as we look and we see around us that there are no godly men, there are no, it seems as though many people are falling away or that they're doing this or that. Well, I'm here to tell you right now is they learned that from their father. But John chapter 8 verses 37 through 48, our text this morning, is go with me now to the 8th chapter of John. And we're going to look at a rather large passage of Scripture, but that's okay, as I'll just keep you for 3 hours or so. But in verse 37 of the 8th chapter of John, as we read this, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now remember, Christ, we looked at this verse last week. Let's continue on. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus says to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornications. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot bear my word or hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Let's pray. Father, I come to you once again this morning. And Father, I ask now that you would come, that you would be with us as we sit here and we worship you by the preaching or the intake of the preaching of your word. Father, this morning I ask that you would be with your saints as hearers of your word. Lord, that I ask that you would illuminate these scriptures by your Holy Spirit and that you would allow us to see ourselves in light of them. Lord, I ask that if the saint is here who needs to be comforted, that they would be comforted this morning. Lord, for the saint who is here who has sin in their life, who may know it or who does not know it, as I ask that you would convict them this morning. And Father, if there is any person who is here or who does not know you, Father, I do ask that you would pour conviction out upon them, open their eyes to see, give them ears to hear, and draw them to you for salvation. Lord, for myself as a preacher, as I ask that you would be with me this morning, Father, bring to my mind the things which I have studied, which I have learned, and Father, allow me to communicate this text to these folks, to these hearers, in a way that they will understand it, in a way that they will remember it. Lord, I ask that the sermon that I preach this morning would do nothing other than point the hearers to Christ, remind us of the work of Christ, of who he is, and bring honor and glory to him. Father, I do ask that you would be amongst us, that you, by your Spirit, would work amongst us this morning. And I ask all these things in the name of Christ, your Son. Amen. Now, as we come to this, as we see something here, you begin to see where I'm headed with this text. But the one thing, I'm not going to speak of godly fathers. Well, I've already done that this morning. Our text does not go towards godly fathers. Now, you may be able to reach that by some implication, but that is not what is in the immediate context of our text. Instead, this morning, is I want us to take ourselves and I want us to honestly look at ourselves in light of this text. You say, what do you mean? I want us to look at ourselves in light of the text, in light of ourselves, in light of the text. You see, I have titled this sermon, The Truth of Two Fathers. Now, when I title this, it can be very misunderstood as one believing that I am saying that men have two fathers. No, that's not what I am saying. For we know that physically we have one father, and that will be the same spiritually. We will have one father. When we look into verse 38, or we begin verse 36 through 38, or 37 through 38, as we see that the Jews in verse 37, as they answer to Christ, remember, Christ answers to the Jews, I know you're of Abraham's seed. He's telling them, I know you are of the physical descent of Abraham. I know you can trace your lineage back from your father to your grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, all the way back to David, to Abraham. But he's telling them, if you were seriously children of Abraham, when he's talking about the children of Abraham, is while we can understand it as physical, more so as he is speaking as spiritual. We see the first father of the spiritual men, of the spiritual man. That is, that he will be Abraham. And what Christ is telling them here is that if you were of Abraham's children, you would do what? The works of Abraham. But in verse 40, I'm getting backwards. In verse 38, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my father. Now, Christ is speaking of God the Father here in verse 38. And he goes on to verse 38, he says, and you do which you have seen with who? Your father. Now, when we think about this for a second, we all remember that song, Father Abraham. that we would sing as children. Christ is speaking of those who are his, is that they have one father who is Abraham. The father of Abraham, guess what, is God. Not that he was conceived by God. Abraham was a man just like I am, just like as you are. He had an earthly mother and an earthly father. But when he speaks of Abraham being the head of God's people or the first of God's people, he's speaking is that all of those, we know that would be Israel, all right, is he speaking that all of those who are in Christ are part of God's people. But yet he's saying that, even though he's telling them, even though you can track your lineage back to Abraham, you're not of God. In fact, is here we see two fathers. You see, we see two fathers, and that is, that first father we see is the Father, God, God the Father. We can see that there are men who will be living in their spiritual father is God the Father. On the other hand, we see that the other father is not God the Father, but it is who? It is Satan, who is the spiritual father of this second group of men. Now, church, I've told you before, and I'm going to put you to the test to it this morning and beseech you to do this. It is very important that we ourselves take these scriptures and look and view and judge ourselves in light of them. You say, well, why is that? Why is it important? I am not in a brothel last night. I am not doing this. I am not selling drugs. I am not doing this. Neither were those who Christ was speaking to. These were Jews. They knew God's word better than any of us, the Old Testament. They knew the laws. They didn't know what they were supposed to do. They were very, very religious people. But yet, here they are, from the lips of Christ, being told, what? God's not your father. Abraham may be your physical father. He may be your great, 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 great grandpappy, but he's not your father. Now, how do we do this? How do we do this? You see, there are so many today who view themselves as just as these Jews. My father's Abraham. And these folks, they're not walking the streets right now. No. They're sitting within church houses all across America, taking notes, laughing, listening. But yet, they're just as the Jews. These folks I speak of, is they're not only sitting in a church house this morning, but they will continuously over and over and over and over. But they're the Jews that we see in this passage. You see, the first thing that we do, the test of the fatherhood, to know who is our father, that you judge is by the fruit that comes from the child. The child, as I have said or began, will produce fruit or works of their father. Verse 38 is Christ speaks. When we look in verse 38, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. We see the division there, the two fathers in verse 38. And Christ being of the Father, is he is speaking about what he has seen in his father. But yet the unconverted Jews, what does he tell them? He tells them, you have seen, you do what you see with your father. Now, he gets a little bit more blatant with this in the 44th verse, which we will see. But I'll go ahead and jump ahead and read it to you. He says, ye are of your father, the devil. Dear friends, if a man or a woman's father, spiritual father, is the devil, they're not going to heaven. And he tells them, so we see that there's a test. What is the test of fatherhood? It is the test of the fruits which we truly see coming from our life. And that is what I want to preach on this morning. What I want to lead you through, church, this morning are the fruits that we see within this text. You say, well, let's get her done. The first part I want to look at are the works of the children of Satan. The works of the children of Satan. Now, I want to begin in verse 40 to see these things. We're going to go through this passage. We're going to come back up and go through it again. But to look at the works of the children of Satan, we begin in verse 40. And in verse 40 we read, Christ, from the lips of Christ, says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard God, or I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Is what we see in verse 40 is the first thing that we see of the work of the children of Satan, is it is a work of hatred. These Jews who heard the truth of Christ, who said, I am the Son of God, I am your promised Messiah, is they did not look at him with open arms and bring him into them. No, they desired to kill him. Let me draw into your remembrance what we read in the first of the Gospel of John, is where we see, and we will see again, is we see that the world did what to Christ? They did not bring him in and say, oh, you will fix all of our social economic problems. No, is when he came in and said, you are a sinner in need of my grace. As we see, and he spoke to the truth of them, they did nothing but hate him. They desired nothing but to kill him. This is very true today. Is those who are a child of Satan, those whose father is Satan, is their work is a work of hatred. It is a work of hatred where they desire, they may even profess to be religious. They may be religious folks, but they do not love Christ, the Son of God. And you see, we continue on in verse 43. And in verse 43, we see the next work of the children of Satan. Verse 43 says, why do you not, Christ asked the Jews, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? He asked them a question, and then he answers it. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? He's looking at them, he's going, why do you not understand this? Now, I will tell you right now, it is not because he was speaking in a different physical language. It is not because of he did not know, but he answers it, even because you cannot hear my word. Now, how do we understand this? Because obviously, Christ is standing before these Jews having a conversation, a dialect with them. But he tells them, you cannot hear. They cannot hear it. You see, the works of the children of Satan is that it is a work of deafness. A work of deafness. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Christ here in this, as he's speaking in verse 44, not to their physical state, but to their spiritual state. They were dead in their sin. They were blind because of their deadness in sin. They are deaf because of their deadness with sin. They could not spiritually hear the words of Christ. And you see, it's true of so many evangelicals today is that they sit under the preaching of God's word. They open up God's word, yet they see it. They may physically hear it, but they never hear it spiritually. When I thought about the work of the children of Satan being a work of deafness, is it brought to remembrance of myself when I was younger? When I was younger, is one thing that I would do in the summertime was haul square bales. And I was hauling square bales, and I remember I had a buddy I played baseball with, and he was deaf. And he had come across this fellow one day who had some horses who was older, and they had just dropped, I don't know, Nathaniel, probably 3,000 square bales in his field. And he knew Jeff, or he knew Jeff's dad, and Jeff knew he had been hauling hay. So Jeff calls me. He says, hey, would you come? What? Actually, his dad calls me. Let me back up. And says, would you come help Jeff haul hay? I said, yeah, sure. I played baseball with Jeff. I didn't think anything of it. But the workness of a deaf man, or the working of a deaf man, have you ever done that before? I can tell you stories all day long. You know, hauling hay, when we did it, is we did not have grapples or anything like that. We went, and three or four of us would be on there. And the guys on the trailer, they would yell to the guy in the truck, hey, speed up, or slow down, you know, or hang on, or whatever. There was communication that had to have been there. Well, we thought it would be bright to put Jeff in the front of the truck driving the truck, and we very quickly soon realized that was not the greatest idea in the world. Then we thought we would put Jeff on the trailer or on the side of the trailer picking up bales. And what we learned is that Jeff could not do that. Yes, he could throw the hay on the bales, but he could not do it as we needed it to be done. We had a system that would go on with it. So then we thought, well, we'll put Jeff on the trailer. But that did not work out either. Hauling hay with a deaf man did not work out that well, is that the work that was about, it was, he could not hear, he could not receive direction, he could not understand anything, for he is deaf. And this is the same of those who are the children of Satan. They cannot understand, they cannot hear, they cannot do anything, because they are spiritually deaf. Because they have not, as Christ tells Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, they have not been born again. So we see in verse 43 that the children of Satan is that they have a work of deafness. But it does not stop there. In verse 44, as we see yet another work of the child of Satan, Christ very clearly tells the Jews that are before him, you are of your father, the devil. He's telling them, you're children of Satan. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 44, we see that the work of the children of Satan, that also is their work, is a work of deception. It's a work of deception. You say, well, what do you mean? It is a work of deception. Well, look at what their father is doing here in verse 44. Christ tells them, your father speaks a lie, that he is a liar. But not only, but he says when he speaks a lie, he's speaking of himself, for he is also a liar, and he's the father of lies. Dear friend, it's just as Satan is involved in this work of deception, so are those who are the children of Satan. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean they are deceiving and being deceived. They are deceiving. You say, well, how are they deceived? They are deceived because they see themselves as being right, as being children of the Father here in the text, of their Father God. Now think about this for a second. These Jews who knew the scriptures so well, Christ is telling them, you're not of the God of Abraham. He is not your father. Your father is of Satan. It's the same for today. Is that these Jews before Christ, that Christ is speaking to, is they were deceived while also deceiving. See, there are so many who fill churches today who are the same way, or in the same manner. They sit there and they are deceived. They deceive themselves because they are deceived. You say, well, what do you mean? They sit there and they think, you know what? I'm okay. I don't care what the man behind the pulpit says. I'm okay. I don't care what the Bible clearly says, for somebody in the past has affirmed what I want. You see, they desire to deceive not others. Yes, that also comes along, but also themselves. But the works of the children of Satan is a work of hatred. There's a work of deafness, a work of deception. In verse 44, we see ultimately it is a work of their father. It is a work of their father. Their father is not God, and there is Satan. But also in verse 44, we see that there's a work of lust for those who are children of Satan. It says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, when we think of lust, is oftentimes our ideas go to some kind of sexual lust. But that's not all that lust is. You know, when I think of lust, we can think of Satan. Of why did he fall? Because he desired to be like God. Okay? Same reason Adam and Eve fell. They desired to be like God. He was lusting after something. He greatly desired something that was not his. He continues to do that. You say, well, what do you mean he greatly desires today? For he knows he's defeated. Yes, but he is not God, first off. He does not carry the qualities of God of being all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful. Know that. He's an angel who's fallen, who's a deceiver. That means that he therefore continues to lust. What is he lusting for today? I believe we find it, and I did not look it up, but we find that he is lusting that he wants the elect of God. That's not going to happen, though. And it will not happen. And as I thought about this, is how does this work pass off to the children of Satan? How do we see this manifest itself within their own lives? We see what so many men and people lust after today. What they desire. It is always something that they do not have. As you will find with lust, lust comes out of a lack of contentment. So many people today are trying to keep up with the Joneses. Or are they lusting after stuff that makes no matter, no difference in anything? As they look at some other person and they go, I must have that. I desire it. And that is what they set their sights on, and that is what they go after. Whether that is some type of money or whether that is some type of possession or some type of social status. Verse 44, we also see that the work of the children of Satan is a work of lies, for their father is a liar. He's the father of all lies. Now, how does this manifest itself today? I think we see it in their hatred of Christ here with the Jews. But we also see it in today in the hatred that the children of Satan have today, the hatred that stems or is placed towards truth. Have you ever evangelized someone or told somebody that they're going to hell without Christ and they get really, really angry with you? Oh, yeah. Why is that? It's because of their hatred for the truth. Their father is the father of lies. He loves lies. He loves deception. So therefore, those who are his children also the same. Verse 45 is we find yet another work of the father or the children of Satan. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You say, well, what does that mean? Or what do we see here? We see the work of unbelief in verse 45. A work of unbelief. Now ponder on this with me. You see, because it's hard to get our minds wrapped around us. When we think of unbelief, we immediately want to think to the LGABCD whatever activists. We want to think of Hitler. We want to think of some great persecutor of the church. We want to go to the Pope of Rome. But that's not who Christ is speaking to. He's speaking to Jews who are religious. Bear with me, these Jews, they believed that they had belief. They believed that just as Abraham did, is that they believed in God and God was counting it to them as righteousness, even though they were based it on their own works. They believed in a Messiah. They would tell you they believed in a Messiah who would come. But here we see that Christ tells them they are of their father, the devil. They are children of Satan. And even though they say all of these things, is we see a work of unbelief. Now, why is that? Why do we see it today? What we see here is that even though there are people, very, very religious people, who profess belief in Christ, is that in their very inner core, they do not believe. They don't believe. You say, well, now, I believe Jesus existed at one time. I believe he died on a cross. That is not saving belief. You see, when a person is given life and they come to see who Christ is they believe with every iota of their being that he is who he says he is. That he is worthy of what he says he will do. That he has the ability to do it. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean that this belief, it wraps their entire being and existence of the person even on this side of eternity. Because they believe that Christ is who he is. And there are fruits from this belief. There's also fruit from unbelief. But you know what? These who are children of Satan, who are in this work of unbelief, is what I am very, very much assured of, is that their conscience attests to it. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit attests to it. But I believe that they can sit and they can be shown these truths and consciously they know I'm one of those. You say, well, how can you say that? Look at the 19th Psalm. What does creation do? Look at Romans chapter 1. What does creation do? Even without these scriptures coming into play, is we see that creation, that it attests to the glory of God, that it declares that there is a creator whom man is accountable to. You say, well, I don't believe that. Then look at verse 46, because the last work of the child of Satan that I want us to see this morning is a work of denial. Verse 46, Christ says, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now, I can answer this in many different ways that are true. They don't believe him because they're dead in their sin, because the triune God has not began a work within them. But we see here is that they continue to deny the Lord. And with that, as we see the last work we will look at this morning of the child of Satan, is that they are involved in a work of denial. Now think of this with me, because this has great impact even today, this work of denial. You see, these folks, they may be religious. They may even acknowledge Christ They may even give some type of profession in Christ, but yet they'd still deny him. You say, well, what do you mean they still deny him? If they make a profession, if they acknowledge him, what do you mean they deny him? They deny him because their life shows the fruits of denial. For instance, one of the hardest verses in Scripture for many American evangelicals can be found in the 9th chapter of Luke, verse 23, where Christ says, if anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Dear friend, if any one of those three things is denied by the person, they're in denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we go back. Because if we have laid one side of the test down, there must yet be another side of the test that we may test ourselves against. We can go back now to verse 39 and we can begin to look at the works of a believer. The works of a believer. What work is the believer involved in, or what fruits would the believer see coming from their lives? Verse 39 is the first place we stop. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus says to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. We see that the child of God is involved in the works of Abraham. Now, there's a laundry list of things that we could go through right here, but due to time, we're just going to think of about two of them. What is the works of Abraham? What are the fruits that come from Abraham? Well, I believe about the 15th chapter of Genesis, chapter 6, is we see one of them, and that's faith. That's faith. Faith in God. We read, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, speaking of Abraham. But not only is it faith that we see as a work of Abraham, it is also obedience to God that we see coming from Abraham. Both of these, both works, or both the obedience, a work of Abraham, is obedience to the word of God. God said, go, and Abraham said, okay. God said, come, and he said, okay. Now, I'm not saying Abraham is perfect, for he is not. But also, as we continue on in verse 42, as we see yet another work of the child of God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would what? You would love me. We see that the believer, that the one who is the child of God, is that they're involved in a work of love. A work of love for who? Of Christ. Now, dear friend, as I was still a Vodi Bachum thing, so many times when we think of love, we think of this little fat baby flying around in a diaper shooting arrows out, and that we believe that love's a feeling. No. Scriptural love is a love which is a work. And when we think about this, as the believer will have a love for Christ, this believer's love for Christ is not just a feeling that one may have towards Christ, but it is also a desire, they desire to go for Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 explains the believer, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom now, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, when a person loves Christ, is that this work produces fruit, or comes from it, or it strengthens. Faith is strengthened. When a person loves Christ, when their eyes are open, they're given life by the Holy Spirit, they see Christ for who he is. Obedience comes from their love for Christ. You see, also comes not only a love for Christ, but a love for the things of Christ. One cannot love Christ and not love the things of Christ. You say, well, what do you mean the things of Christ? His word. The one who loves Christ will love Christ's word. The one who loves Christ will love his church. Will love his church. They will love their local church. They will desire to be a part and gathered and taking and fellowshipping with their local church. You say, well, Michael, that's hard to find a church to have anything in common with. And then you need to adjust yourself. You need to evaluate yourself. You say, well, what do you mean? That man over there, I don't kill bugs for a living. He does. But I desire to be with him. I love him. Do you know why? Not because he kills bugs and I don't, but because of what we have in common, that is Christ Jesus. You say, Michael, I don't have a church that I have anything in common with, and you need to test yourself. You see, when I think about this love of Christ and what comes from it, it's not only will the saint love the word of Christ, not only will he love the church of Christ, but he will also be burdened for lost men and women, just as Christ is, just as we see in the New Testament. But also, we continue on and we see yet another work of the child of God in verse 44. In verse 44, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? And what we see is we see that, actually I got that one, I read the wrong verse. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and your lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is the opposite of the work of the child of Satan. It's a work of truth, which the child of God is engaged in. You see, this work of truth will be it's going to be closer related to another work of the saint, or the child of God, and that is the work of proclamation. But in the work of truth, as we see the saint, the one who is a child of God, is they love truth. Not only do they love truth, but they herald truth. Verse 45, we find another work of the child of God, and we see that Christ tells him, and again, it's the opposite of the work of the child of Satan. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not, the child of God will do the opposite, and they will believe Christ. And you see, this is just extends more than just salvation. This belief of Christ extends to the belief of provision, that Christ will provide for his as they need. It also extends to a belief for the Lord to work, a belief for today and also a belief for tomorrow, as the old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, proclaims. But yet this belief produces a bold work for those who are in Christ. We're going to get back to this boldness. You see, when one who has been made alive and actually believes Christ for what he says, for who he is and what he will do, is there is boldness that stems from this belief. Boldness is a fruit from biblical belief. You say, well, show me that. Look back in the history of the church. There is hardly a cowardly Christian all throughout history. And if there's a moment of cowardice, is guess what? The Lord brings them out of that and they are bold. Peter, Paul. You can even go back and you can look such as missionaries who have been killed. You see, this belief produces boldness. And boldness produces from this belief a bold work. In verse 46, as we find yet another work of the believer. Verse 46, we go and we look at it. It says, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? This one may be a little bit far-fetched, but I'm going to like it and I'm going to go with it. And if you don't like it, well, that's okay. You can be wrong. In verse 46, as we see the work of proclamation. The work of proclamation that comes from the child of God, or that because they are a child of God, that comes from that. You say, well, what do you mean, the work of proclamation? Go back and read with me Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20, the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. That's not just given to pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers. That is given to every person who is a child of God, who is in Christ. In verse 47, unlike the deaf man, is we see that the saint's work is a work of direction. He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. He said, well, how do you get a work of direction? When we look in verse 47, as Christ clearly says, he that is of God, he's speaking those who are the children of God, they hear God's words. And dear saint, be reminded this morning that it is through the word of God that the saint is directed on what or where they should do, what they should know. You see, this work of direction, it is not a work where there is not a direction given. It is a work that is not only done such as the child of Satan's work, the child of God's work is a work that is not only done with a horizontal effect, but a vertical effect. child of God is that the work that is set before us, it is an eternal work. A work that is to be done to the glory of God, with eternity, not today, in focus, with our eyes set upon Christ. Now, as we look through this, as we have looked at and we have seen the works of a unbeliever, we have seen the works of a believer. And the one truth that we come to see, well, we see true truths. First off, not every person is a child of God. That's perfect and clear from the lips of Christ. The second one is that every life produces fruit. That every man, no matter how free they may think they are, even though they may not believe that they when they know they deny Christ because they do not desire to serve Him, if they do not serve Christ or are serving their father the devil. But what we see is every life produces fruit, and that fruit is produced from the works. And beloved, when you test yourselves against these scriptures, what works do you see yourself engaged in? Now, before you answer, is be very careful to think long and hard about it. Because so many today, as I would preach this sermon, is in their mind they would place somebody else that they're judging themselves against. Do not do that. Place yourself in light of the Scripture. Place yourself next to Christ. And ask yourself again, whose works do you see yourself engaged in? You see, so many saints today would go, Michael, I know that there's ways that I may improve, and I agree with you. But so many saints today will quickly place themselves and say, I am in the work of the child of God. Well, church, there is a problem today if saints, or if professing saints, place themselves in this. You see, because when we look around us, when we look at our own church, when we look at other churches, where are the saints who are involved in this work? Where are they? Where are the saints who will live this life with their belief rooted in Christ, resting upon Christ and His promises? Living a life not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for they know that it is the power of God unto salvation. Where are these saints? So many times today, professing saints seem to worry and mourn about the world, not worried about these works of the child of God, but they worry and mourn about the world. Be reminded, God is in control. He sets the political arena. All the things which we accumulate, the crap we accumulate, is burned up in the end. Where are the saints who are burdened for those who are lost? Where are the saints? You see, so oftentimes I will hear of saints, and I've heard it here. It's the Lord. We desire the Lord to grow our church. We desire the Lord to breathe afresh upon us. We desire revival. Where are the saints? I hear these things, but all around, not just me. As I see people who profess to know Christ, as they desire these things, they want these things, but they will not pray. They will not commit themselves. Where are the saints? I hear saints speak to me. Michael, I am burdened by so-and-so. They do not know Christ. I am burdened by this person and that person. But yet, they refuse to evangelize. Saint, where are you? You see, if we're a child of God, as there is a work that is set before us, a work which we must be able to look at our lives and see it as a train running down the tracks. Yes, it may be bumpy. Yes, there may be faults in the tracks. But we see we are headed in this direction. We are involved in these works. So when you look at the works, whose work are you involved in? Is it the work? It is the work of your father. But who's your father? God or the devil? May the Lord be glorified by the preaching of His word.